going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can visit us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, or streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. And I just thank God for another opportunity to come before you with a True Church Perspective. And I thank you for listening and being faithful to this particular broadcast. And I just thank you for your support. I just thank you for all that you do for True Church Perspective. Thank you for your wonderful donations to keep us on the air. And if you have donations you'd like to send in, you can visit our website at true-church.org. And you can click the support link there. Or you can go to our EX Ministries website and support us that way. But either way, we just thank God for your wonderful donations and keeping us on the air. And last week, we dealt with the sacred namers. We dealt with the sacred name movement, those that consider it wrong or inappropriate to call God by any other name other than the original Hebrew name that was spoken, they believe. And so they believe that any other name is not the name of God. And so if you're calling any other name, then you are out of line. Now, we know how this works, and we exposed that last week in depth. So you can get that broadcast. If those sacred namers are bothering you and spamming you and on all over your guest book and all over your Facebook, and, you know, they just try. It's only a handful of them, but they try to get on everything because they want to cause confusion in the body of Christ. For those of us that worship the true and living God, they want to make it like we don't really know God, like we can't hear God, or he's not speaking to us because we're not calling him by his name, you know. And so, you know, we talked about how ridiculous that was last week. And so please get that broadcast. It's very important because you don't need to be deceived in this last hour. You don't need to be deceived. And we're going to kind of springboard off of that because, you know, the sacred namer is one thing I didn't discuss last week. Is one of the Ten Commandments that they use to justify why they believe that calling the name is important. We go to Exodus 20:7 that says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, this particular passage, they want to believe that because we're not calling him by the Hebrew name, we're taking his name in vain. I don't know how they read that in this passage, because this passage is basically talking about emptying out the meaning of his name or the way you speak his name because your lifestyle is not lining up with what you're saying. In other words, you're not honoring him with your whole body, with your whole heart. That is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Matthew tells us Jesus spoke it and he said, with their lips they draw close to me, but their hearts are far from me. They were taking him in vain. In other words, we just begin to use God or use Christ as a marker for our lives and let people know, oh yeah, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but our lifestyles aren't lining up with what we are speaking. That is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that is what we want to talk about today, because I did a daily word the other day, this past week, about carnal Christians, and I dealt with profanity. I even put it up on the Facebook page. I did a little statement on there about cleaning up your Facebook and getting the profanity off, because, you know, a lot of people that use foul language like to come on to your Facebook and different places and just put a whole bunch of cursing and foul language on there when they come comment. And I know some people want to entertain that and leave that up, but you can't. You can't leave that up because this page represents you, and you don't want anybody led astray by the content that's on your page. You can't just allow a bunch of cursing and swearing and bad talking on your website if you are a true believer in Christ. If you are in Christ, then that means that you have to support Christ and you have to show that you're in Christ. And you don't want to lead anyone astray by causing them to read a bunch of foul language on your page, because that can be tempting for some, and it also could be cursing to some. So we got to make sure we keep our pages in line with what's going on in our hearts, how we live. And let me say this, you could tell a lot about people by the language they speak. You know, if people curse and use a lot of foul language, then there's a whole bunch of other stuff wrong with that person. I promise you, it's always a sure sign of something else deeper going on in that person. But we as believers in Christ, we can't be using foul language. We can't be speakers of curse words and swearing and different things. There is not an occasion when we should ever talk like that. You know, I remember Juanita Bynum, you know, they were doing marriage seminars 6 months after they put together that farce of a marriage just so they could do this marriage conferences, you know, and one marriage conference, they had Tony singing, and he's divorced and he's homosexual. He's singing at a marriage conference. And then they had Noel Jones coming to preach, and he's divorced. And folks bring these guys to a marriage conference. Come on now. But the sad part about it is they put that thing together, and I actually called them. You know, I called them when I saw them putting it on, and I wanted to speak to somebody that could help me understand why they were having a marital conference 6 months after they had been married. And then why were they bringing two divorcees to perform and to preach at this particular marriage conference. So, of course, no one could talk to me, and they began, oh, you better keep your mouth off the prophetess, and oh, the prophetess gonna creep and slither in your bedroom at night and haunt you and all that old wicked, spooky junk. Did she start telling me that stuff on the phone? I was like, that's some foolishness. And they had this marriage conference, and they start talking about how it's okay to use profanity and nasty, filthy talk. And we know when you're in the bedroom with your wife, I want to talk nasty and foul, and I want to cuss and swear. And I'm like, you know, this is ridiculous, but this is what people are doing sometimes. And people are teaching these things, and people are listening and following these things. These folks are booked all over the country, preaching at all these churches. You know, you can tell a lot about your pastor by the people that he brings to the church. If they're bringing these folks to your church, if they're going to preach for these folks, then that tells you a whole lot about them. But folks are so blind, and they don't want to see it, you know, because a lot of them want to keep that cussing. They want to keep that old talk, that old man, that old jive talking sailor pass on the weekend language. You know, they want to keep that kind of language and incorporate that into Christianity or the way they're living. But the Bible tells us that you cannot do that. We are not supposed to use bad or foul language. I don't care whether you're in the bedroom. I don't care whether you're standing in church or whether you're in the parking lot of the church. We do not use this kind of language as believers. It should not be coming out of our mouths. Now, I know this is going to rattle a lot of cages, because I know some preachers, a lot of preachers that, boy, you get them off the stage and they just turn into Richard Pryor. See, man, there's a black man, a white man, and a Mexican man. I mean, they just start with the nastiest jokes and everything, and you're like, say, man, you know? There is a spiritual aspect of this that we must deal with, because whenever you defy a basic principle of the word, and whenever you defy the scriptures, then there's going to be some spiritual consequences to it. And that's what we want to talk about. Christians using bad or foul language. What does the word say? Well, the word says three good things about using bad language or cursing or swearing. And we want to get into that right now. The first thing the scripture tells us is that it shows a lack of self-control. James 3:6 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the fire among our members or our body, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. So it's telling you right there that your tongue has the ability to defile your whole body. When your tongue is out of control, your whole body is out of control. And so if you get mad or somebody, you know, step on your Air Jordans or something and you just start cussing and you can't control it, that's letting you know that there are some other areas in your life that need to be looked at because you are out of control. You have no self-control. I tell everyone, if you got a problem cursing, you need to go on a fast. Go on a fast and stop eating and see. Curse words won't come out your lips. One, your lips would be too crusty and dry to even get them out. So you aren't going to be thinking about cursing, but that fast will definitely break the urges that you have to use bad language, because most of it is coming from other things. It's coming from hurt or pain or fear or other things that are going on in your life. So you need to make sure you get your tongue under control. The second thing that the scripture tells us about foul language is that it ruins your witness with the world. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So the use of edifying is, it's telling you here, when the world hears you cursing and using foul language and talking just like they talk, then there's no difference between you. And this makes God very upset. This is what Ezekiel was prophesying about, that God was upset because the people weren't making a difference between what was sacred and what was profane, or what was his and what was profanity, basically. And so this is telling us right here that there has to be a difference. There needs to be a difference in your life, a difference in your walk, Christian. You can't walk around your house cursing at your kids and using foul language, and then you're going to tell your children, hey, don't be using foul language now. That's not right. And you doing it, you cursing, and then you showing them all kinds of movies with it in there, and you're not making a difference between what is sacred and profane. Come on, y'all, you got to get a grip on this, because you're going to, all you are doing is planting seeds into your children that will cause them to grow up with the same problem. Not only will they have the same problem, but it will be worse, because what the adults do in moderation, the children will do excessively. So you got to make sure you don't ruin your witness to your children, to your family members, to sinners, on your job, whatever. I mean, if you're on a job just cursing like Nicki Minaj every time something happens, then you think they're going to come to you when they need spiritual counseling, when they want to be saved? Why would they come to you and you are acting and talking just like them? This whole relaxed carnal Christianity, y'all, we got to do something about this, because we are losing our witness before the world. The third thing that the scripture tells us about using foul language, it says it opens you up for evil or foul spirits or more ungodliness. 2 Timothy 2:16, it says, but avoid profane and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. I know this to be true because I have cast demons out of people. There have been demons of profanity that come out of people that want to use foul language and cursing and everything. And the way I get that demon real upset is because I won't let them use profanity when I'm dealing with them. If I'm dealing with them, you're going to respect the God in me. You're going to respect Christ in me. You're going to respect the God of all gods when I'm casting you out, and you are not going to speak profanity to me. And I'm telling you should see the looks on people's faces when you address this demon and say, you shut up. You don't curse at me. You don't swear at me. You will not use foul language in this church or wherever I am. You won't do it. You're going to respect me as a man of God. And the demon just gets furious and wants to come out, but it won't curse. It'll literally just close its mouth and growl, because it knows if you speak anything, I'll call the angels of the Lord upon you. And if this is going on in the spirit realm, then just imagine what's going on in you when you're using foul language. I even dealt with a person one time, and you know, they were there with their wives, and I was dealing with this demon, and I was speaking to it, and this demon looked at me and said, yeah, I'm profanity, I'm foul language. I said, how did you get in there? And the demon looked at me and said, he likes to curse while he's having sex. This is what the demon said inside the person, and this is how the demon got in him. I looked at his wife, and she shook her head and said, yeah, that's true. And I was like, this brought a demon in this guy. And folks don't even know how serious this is. You think you just using bad language, you think you just having fun like Juanita Bonham and all them old crazy folks that are using foul language and teaching you how to cuss in the bedroom and all this, and they're not even looking at the spiritual aspect of this thing. They're not even looking behind the natural into the spirit realm, and don't even understand the ungodliness that they're promoting in their sermons and their messages. So listen to me, people of God, this is serious. We have to avoid profanity like that, so that it will not increase into more ungodliness and cause us to go go astray in other areas. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobated mind to do things that are not convenient. Then it goes on to list all the things: unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, all of these things. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, they that commit such things are worthy of death, in 1:32. And it says, not only do they do these things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Why am I reading this scripture? Because we as believers, not only are we not to use this type of language as believers, but we can't find pleasure in them that use this kind of language. In other words, if we're finding pleasure in bad language and folks cussing us out and cursing at us and cursing all on our Facebook and cursing all in our music, cursing all on our movies and just using foul language all the time, if this foul language doesn't bother you, then there is something wrong with you. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, guess what? The mouth speaketh. So if it's coming out of your mouth, then that is a heart issue. There is something in your heart that needs to be dealt with, and you need to let God deal with it. And for some, it's not coming out of their mouth, but it's coming out of all their friends' mouth. It's coming out of all the people that they're around mouth. And that is just as bad. So we have to be delivered from using this foul language. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was in high school, I had the worst mouth ever. I mean, I used to curse like mom's Maybelline when I was in high school. I'm not kidding. God delivered me, and I wanted God to completely deliver me. So even when I got upset, curse words wouldn't come out of my mouth. And God did it. He delivered me, but I had to make an effort to be delivered. I had to try my best to be delivered. In other words, I had to put myself in position to be healed from what was wrong with me. So I'm going to go through these five steps of breaking the curse of cursing, or breaking these things off of you so that you don't use foul language as a believer. These five steps will definitely help you. They help me. This is how God got me delivered from it. Now, no matter how mad I get, you can stomp my toe, you can step on my Jordans, you can do whatever, you know, and it will not bring up a curse word out of my mouth, because it's just not something that I practice doing now. But it took deliverance for me to get to that point, and I want to help you get to that point, because I know you don't want to walk around cursing and talking nasty all the time. I'm sure that those things bother you. Even in the night, when it's time to lay down, you regret the language that you used that day, or some of the things that you said, and these things ought to bother you. The sad thing is that a lot of people, it don't bother them anymore, and their conscience is seared. But for those of you that really want to be helped with this, here are five steps to really help you. The first one, in changing your vocabulary and getting this bad language out of your life, the first step is to change what's in your life. This is very important. People, places, things that promote foul language, they have to go. And if you want deliverance in this area, you can't hold on to things that tempt you. This mostly comes in your entertainment. So you got to watch what is entertaining you. If you want to listen to the kings of comedy all day and all of that, then you're going to have a bunch of cursing in your vocabulary when you get upset. If you want to listen to Trey Songz and all these old nasty, perverted recording artists, then you're going to have perversion in the way you talk. So just like the scripture said in Romans 1:32, it says that those that commit these things are worthy of death, but some have pleasure in them that do them. If you are having pleasure in a bunch of cursing, if you find pleasure in that, if you desire to see that, if that makes you feel good to be around that, then you need to remove those things out of your life. That's the first step. That's the only way true deliverance is going to come, is when it's removed from around you, because as long as it's around you, it's going to get into you. The second thing that you need to do is you need to replace your anger, fear, and wrath with God's fruits of the Spirit. God's fruits are what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But this comes by practicing them. You know, it's funny. When you want to play basketball, you got to get out there and practice if you want to be good. If you want to run track, you got to get out there and practice if you're going to be good. Even with games and anything that you want to be good at, instruments and music, you got to practice. practice to be good at it. Well, then why is it that we're not practicing righteousness? Why is it that we're not practicing to be good at righteousness? I know they taught us a long time ago that all you got to do is get filled with the Holy Ghost and then you automatically good and you can't do anything wrong anymore. And even when you try to do wrong, the Holy Ghost won't let you. Well, I got news for you. That wasn't the total truth. That is not how it works. God submits to your free will just like the devil has to submit to your free will. Your free will is your free will. It is your ability to allow either the Spirit of God or the spirit of the devil to operate through you. That is your choice. That is free will. So that means that because we're in the flesh, and the Bible says that no good thing dwelleth in our flesh, and our flesh brings forth evilness, then that means that we have to practice righteousness so that we can be righteous. We have to practice being righteous. So that means we have to practice the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Y'all, we have to practice initiating these things in our lives, in our day-to-day lives. We have to purposely and intentionally perform them, or they're not going to happen. They're not going to just naturally happen because we're filled with the Spirit of God. No, we have to practice this so that we can get good at operating in the fruit of the Spirit. And this will override the old man's deeds, and this will change the way we communicate and change our language. Number three, the third way to change your language and be delivered from using profanity is to hear it the way God hears it. A true sign of deliverance is when a thing that used to be easy to do brings grief to you. That's when you know deliverance has come. When cursing starts bothering you, then you know you've been delivered. And that's how I knew, because now when a bunch of cursing and crazy talking is going on, whether it's in a movie, music, or whatever, it bothers me. I just can't tolerate it anymore. I don't want to hear it. And when folks come on Facebook with all that cursing and, you know, just that ignorant stupidity on Twitter and all that junk, folks just don't know how to talk because their mamas and dads have talked this way to them all their lives, and my heart goes out to them. But man, I'm deleting that. I'm not letting that rest up on my page. I'm not letting foul language. And you know what? Those that promote that junk, musicians and performers and artists, I'm not putting them on my Facebook page, on our ministry page. Why would I have our favorite singer is Prince and our favorite singer is Trey Song? All these old folks that promote evil and foulness, why would I be promoting that as a preacher? I can't understand. Why are you promoting people that promote sin and ungodliness? The Bible says you can't find pleasure in them that do them, or you're worthy of death just like they are. So please, people of God, listen to me. I don't understand, but we got to hear this thing the way God hears it. And once it bothers us and once it gets detestable to us, then we know deliverance from God has come. When you hear it, it bothers you and pricks you. You're like, oh, I got to get away from this cussing and this crazy talk. That's when you know that God has truly delivered you from it. The fourth thing we need to do is get from under lascivious leaders that use foul language in their sermons or promote them in their lifestyle. Come on, people of God. You will never change if you don't change your bad leadership. That's the sad thing. These folks pile into these mega churches where these preachers, I remember Eddie Long, he used curse words all the time in the pulpit, and all of his sermons were about sex, and he would use sex as analogies with everything. And now look at him. He's in trouble. And of course, that situation has quieted down, so I'm sure somebody got paid off because we haven't heard anything on it. But all of that foul talking in the pulpit, all that old crazy talk, And you can't see that something is wrong with this man? Any man that has to mix sex in every sermon he preaches, you can't tell something is wrong with that? And I was under a preacher here in Fort Worth, and we had to leave because he would use curse words in the pulpit and think it's cute and roll his eyes and snap his finger this is just some foolishness. I'm trying to figure out, man, why are you cursing up in the church? That is not cute. Why would a sermon be rated R? This is a sermon of God. Why are you talking like that? But that's what these preachers are doing. And the saddest part is now they're making movies. I know, you know, Bishop Jakes has movies with a bunch of cursing, and he always got to show men with their shirts off. And, you know, something is wrong, people. Something wrong with a man that like to see men with shirts off. Come on, y'all. And then they're using this foul language, got to always curse. And I know Tyler Perry always talking about how he's a Christian and a believer, but every one of his movies is full of cursing. And this is just outrageous. But we think these folks are Christians, and we believe these folks are of God, and we follow these lascivious bishops that promote cursing. And why would a bishop put cursing in a movie? If he has the money to make a movie, why would he make a movie promoting the very thing that the scripture tells us is wrong. I don't understand. They pack these churches out with these folks. I mean, don't y'all see it? Don't y'all understand what's going on here? But this is a vice of the devil. These men are possessed by Satan, and he's using them to get this stuff into you. So you'll sit there and think you're hearing the word of God, but all you're hearing is a false prophet. And I'm telling you, your children are going to be damaged by it because their children are damaged by it. Your home, your marriage is going to be wrecked because their marriage is a farce. I'm telling you, people of God, you better listen to me right now as I prophesy. God is not pleased with this stuff because these things are taking the name of God in vain. It's making us take his salvation in vain, and we are using this salvation as an occasion to sin, and God forbid. And the fifth thing that will help you in deliverance with foul language, and I'm going to close this out, you have to break the curse. Maybe you were raised around it and it just comes natural, just flows off your tongue like just regular words. I mean, you're just good at cursing. Well, that's because it's a generational curse most of the time. You grew up in a house where this was going on, or somebody did it around you, and you got to break that curse. You got to call it out in the name of Jesus, and you got to say, look, I break this curse. I don't care how many generations back. I don't know where it came from, but I break it in the name of Jesus. All profane talking, everything, I break it, and I claim my deliverance. And you have to walk in that deliverance, and you got to stop cursing. You're not going to be delivered if you keep using bad language. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. The scripture is making it clear that we are not to use this kind of language because there is a spiritual consequence to it, and many of us are suffering from that right now. But I will pray and believe God with you that you can take this foul language out of your life. You can go through these five steps, changing what's in your life, replacing your anger and wrath with God's fruits of the Spirit, hearing it the way God hears it, and then getting under the lascivious leaders that use this language in their movies or promote it in their lifestyle, and then break the curse that was put on you by someone that raised you or around you that was using this bad language and spoke it into you. I believe that God wants us to clean our lives up because I believe he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And I believe that we are in the end times, and this is just one of the things that God really wants to clear up in our lives so that we can be in the position that he wants us to be in. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this particular message. I thank you for your commandment to not take your name in vain. And even though they're putting your name with curse words now, all in movies and Hollywood and all these different things, Father God, I do believe that you're not pleased with that, because in your name is healing. In your name is deliverance. In your name is the power of salvation. And so we want to make sure we keep your name pure and holy. We want to make sure we keep the name of the Lord pure, and we want to make sure it's not attached to foul language, and we want to make sure that we're not speaking foul language that may hurt someone, Father God, or that may hurt us, or that may lead someone astray or hurt our witness, God, or put us in position where we're not effective for you. Father, I pray right now that everyone under the sound of my voice that has this problem, God, I pray for deliverance for them right now. God, I pray for deliverance. I pray that they follow these steps. I pray that they implement them. I pray that they fast and get these things out of their lives, out of their mouths, off their Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and all the different social networks and different things. If they would just get this out of their lives, God, I pray, Father God, that this hindrance of using bad language will not hinder them anymore, and they can be delivered and set free and speak with good communication unto you in Jesus' name. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.